Okay, let's go back to the text that we read a few minutes ago. Matthew chapter 17. Lord permitting, I want to try to bring out a few things from this text this morning that I hope will be honoring to our Lord and blessing to His people. We have here the account of our Lord taking three of the disciples, took Peter, James, and John, took them up into a high mountain with Him. And in this place, these three men were allowed to see some things which others were not allowed to see. They saw some things which they were admonished not to tell anyone. Not to tell anyone until after He had risen from the dead. We saw that in verse 9, if you would look at it. As they came down from the mountain, the Lord charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Now, while only three were chosen to witness this event, and there's purpose in everything our Lord does, because it's written, everything is to be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And while our Lord tells them not to tell anyone until later, still, He clearly implies here that after His resurrection from the dead, others will hear of what took place here. And others will see by faith what these three men saw with the natural eye. Wouldn't it be grand if this morning we could see by faith what these three men saw with the natural eye? Now, I want us to look at this portion of Scripture under three headings. And the first one is this. Let's look for a minute at what they saw. What did they see? Well, they saw the Lord Jesus transfigured right before their eyes. In verse 2, they went up to that high mountain apart with Him, and they saw Him transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. You know, they'd seen Him often. They'd been with Him. They'd seen Him as a man, as the Son of Man. We're familiar with Him as a man. As John wrote in his first epistle, he said, "That which we have seen, that which we've heard, that which we have seen with our eyes and have handled with our hands of the word of truth, that's what we declare unto you." We've seen Him with our eyes. We've heard Him. We've handled Him. But they've never seen Him like this before. It had even, at least to some degree, been revealed to them who He was. Who He was. You know, in chapter 16 here, He'd asked them the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they gave the answer. And then He asked, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered in verse 16 of chapter 16. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So they had revealed to them something about who He was, something about His person, something about His office. "Thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. You're the Son of the living God." They knew something. The Father had revealed that to them. They had heard Him preach and teach from the beginning of His ministry. They had witnessed His miraculous works. They saw Him give sight to the blind. They saw Him cure, cause the deaf to hear. They saw Him cause the lame to walk. They saw Him cleanse lepers. And they saw Him raise the dead to life. And now they see something they've never seen before. They see Him transfigured right before their very eyes. And in seeing this, they saw His face shine as the sun. Shine as the sun. You know, God gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And they saw His face shine as the sun. Do you know what that's talking about when they say they saw His face shine as the sun? You know what that's talking about. We talked about that some Wednesday night in the study where we was studying Revelation. You remember? Let me just read one verse from Revelation chapter 10. Revelation 10:1. John said, "I saw another mighty angel." Remember, this is Christ. "Come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon His head, and His face was as it were the sun, and His face did shine." They saw Him transfigured. Saw Him transfigured. They saw his clothing white as light, his clothing radiating the glory of the holiness and majesty of his person. They saw at least in some degree his glory. They saw his glory as the Son of God. They saw his glory as of God the Son. John's one of these three. You remember in John's gospel how he begins it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14 he says, and that Word was made flesh, and dwelt, tabernacled among us, and we did what? We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw something about his glory. Turn over to Luke chapter 9, would you? Luke, in Luke 9, Luke gives an account of this same event. It's recorded in three of the four Gospels. And you may want to mark Luke 9 because we'll come back there a little later also. But Luke 9, verse 32. Luke 9, verse 32. Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. That's what they saw. They saw him transfigured and they saw his glory. What else did they see? Well, it says they saw Moses and Elijah talking with him. Moses and Elijah. Why these two? Well, Moses, remember, represents the law. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses is representative of the law. And Moses died now almost 2,000 years ago. And yet here on this mountain, they see Moses with the Lord Jesus. And then they saw Elijah. Why Elijah? Well, Elijah represents the prophets. The prophets who prophesied of Christ, prophesied of his coming, prophesied of his death. Elijah now has been gone from the earth for about 1,000 years. He didn't die, but he was translated. But here he is, appearing on this mountain with our Lord Jesus, along with Moses. I tell you, Peter was impressed. Look at verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Now, if you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. What if just build three tabernacles and just stay there? I understand what Peter's talking about. You know, we know that he spoke hastily. We know that he spoke without thinking about what he was saying. But I understand his feeling, don't you? If you've ever seen the glory of Christ, you understand what Peter was saying. Don't you want to be with Christ in glory? Well, I do. Let's just build three tabernacles and stay ready. Another thing, when our Lord is pleased to speak to our hearts and to bless us with a glimpse of him, and to bless us, at least in some degree, with a glimpse of his person, his majesty, his glory, he just, as it were, takes us up on the mountain. You want to stay there, don't you? I don't want to go back down to the valley again. Seems like I spend an awful lot of time in the valley, don't you? I want to stay on the mountain. That's what Peter's talking about. I understand why he said what he said, even though it was spoken unadvisedly. All right, then something else they saw. They saw this bright cloud overshadow them, and they heard the voice of God the Father. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, Peter spoke of that in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me read you a couple of verses here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard it when we were with him in the holy mount. They saw that bright cloud. They heard that voice, the voice of God the Father speaking to them. That's an astounding thing. You know, when God spoke to Moses out of that cloud back there in Exodus, God spoke to him out of that cloud. He gave the law to Moses and to the people. It was different from what it is on this mountain. Back there, it was dark. It was a dark cloud. There were thunderings and lightnings. It was a fearful event. A fearful event. You know, Paul writes about that in Hebrews 12, verse 18. Hebrews 12, 18. Paul says, "Now you are not come into the mount that might be touched, Mount Sinai, and that burned with fire. You're not come unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore." When God spoke the law, with all of those things that took place when he spoke to them, they could not endure that which was commanded. "And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." And those people said to Moses, "Oh, don't let God speak to us anymore, but let him speak to you, and you tell us what he has to say." It was a fearful thing to hear God speak when he gave the law. But here, beloved, here, when he reveals and sets forth something of the glory of his own dear Son, his only begotten Son, and when he expresses his pleasure in him and commands him to be heard, here it's a bright cloud, not a dark one. Here there's no thunder. Here there's no lightning. Here there's no threatening. Just the voice of God instructing his people concerning his Son. And look at their reaction, verse 6. "When the disciples heard, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid." They heard this voice and they fell on their face. And they were afraid. They heard God and they fell down and they were afraid. You know, I've had people tell me that God spoke to them. I've had people tell me that they heard an audible voice from heaven. They heard what they thought was God speaking to them. And I didn't believe them. You know why? Because they didn't react like everybody in Scripture that heard a voice from heaven. They all fell on their faces. And they all were fearful. But not people in our day. Not people in our day. Oh, beloved, listen, I'm telling you, from the Old Testament to the New, it's the same. Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphim flew about crying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.' And I cried out," what? Hallelujah! "Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm undone. My eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." He fell down. Daniel saw something about him, and Daniel said, "My comeliness, my beauty, and my strength, it just melted into corruption." Job said, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself." That rebel Saul of Tarsus, we talked about last week, on the road to Damascus, he saw a bright light and wound up in the dust, crying out, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" You see, what people are talking about today just doesn't match up. Doesn't match up with Scripture. These men heard this voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And they fell down. And they were afraid. On, look at verse 7. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise, be not afraid. Arise and be not afraid.'" And they, verse 8, "When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." That's a good place to be right there. That's when our sight is really 20/20. When we see no man, Jesus only. That's good spiritual sight. And you know, that's what we strive for in the preaching of the gospel, is this very thing right here. This very thing. It is that when you lift up your eyes, you might see only him. Only him. You know, John the Baptist said that. He said, "He must increase. He must increase. And I must decrease." Everything in this world has got to get smaller and smaller while He gets greater and more glorious in our eyes. That's what we're aiming for. That's the goal to which we strive when we preach this gospel. Well, that's some things these men saw. And now, under the second heading, I want to talk to you for just a second about this. The meaning of what they saw and heard. What's it mean? Well, what they saw and what they heard pictures the gospel. It's the gospel in a picture. Now, when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is preached, Christ is preached. If Christ is not preached, no gospel is preached. The gospel. The gospel of God concerns His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That one which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. When the gospel is preached, Christ is preached. And if we don't preach Christ, we don't preach the gospel. And the gospel is the gospel of His grace and the gospel of His glory. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was caused to enter into that ark, was he not? God said, come in. And he willingly went in. And God closed the door. And God preserved him in that ark. Preserved him in Christ till the storm was past. And he landed him safely on the other side. Now who gets the glory there? Was it Noah? Or was it God? Well, God gets the glory. It's the glory of His grace in the salvation of sinners by His own dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And any gospel that's preached that does not preach salvation by grace for the glory of God in the person of His Son, you just mark it down. It ain't gospel. I don't care at what point they take away from the glory of Christ and the gospel. If they take away from it, it ceases to be the gospel. This gospel declares Christ. It declares the excellency, the glory of His person. It speaks about Christ as both God and man. Two natures in one person. It speaks about Him who is bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. Conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, no natural, no original sin. And it speaks about Him who is God Almighty, who is none other than God over all, blessed forever. Amen. It speaks about Him who is the appointed heir, the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His Son, the one who by Himself purged our sin. And when He did so, He sat down into God's right hand. That's who we're talking about. The excellency of His person. The excellency, the completeness, the glory of His work. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. He didn't come into this world to make an attempt to save. He didn't come here to make a down payment. He didn't come here to enable you to save yourself. He came to save His people from their sins. Did He do it or didn't He? Well, the world tells us He didn't. But God tells us He did. By one offering He hath sanctified forever, perfected forever them that are sanctified. His blood atoned us made atonement for our sins, reconciled us to God, established peace with God between rebels and a holy God. His righteousness is sufficient for justification to all who have it. All. It's perfect, it's complete. He's able to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in the sight of Almighty God. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. What are you going to add to completeness? Nothing. Nothing. What are you going to take away from Him? Nothing. Nothing. It's His glorious person. The completeness of His work, the glory of His work. All the glory of who He is and where He is now. You want to know where He is? Read the last book. You find out how this thing winds up. John saw Him in the midst of the throne, a lamb as it had been slain. The only one in heaven, earth, or hell that was worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, and to look thereon. He's the ruling, reigning monarch of the universe. And all things are subject to His will. When the gospel is preached, Christ is preached. And when Christ is preached, the glory of God's grace in salvation is set forth. And we see it in Him. in Him. You want to see the glory of God? You'll see it in Christ or you won't see it. You want to see salvation? It's in Christ. I've told you often, I love the doctrine of the gospel, don't you? At least at some point I believe the Lord may be a peaceful man. But if necessary, I'd fight you over the gospel. You'll come down and you say, well, you're going to have to deny it or we're going to have to fight. Well, let's get on it. Let's get at it. You feel that way? I do. I believe the doctrine of the gospel. I believe God is absolutely sovereign over all things. I believe that man is totally, completely dead, depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, without will or ability to come to God on his own, without the ability or will to do anything pleasing in his sight. You believe that? I believe God unconditionally elected a people unto salvation in Christ before he ever created this world or any other. You believe that? That's what Scripture teaches. I believe that when Christ came as our representative and substitute, that he did effectually redeem all whom the Father gave him. He completed every single thing that was necessary for God to receive them unto himself. You believe that? And for them alone. The good shepherd giveth his life for us. You believe that? I believe in the irresistible, invincible call of the Spirit of God by the gospel. I believe in due time, according to this word. Not something I made up or received from another man. John Calvin's not my God. I thank God for him. I thank God that he gave him the wisdom and understanding to set these things forth. But they didn't originate with him. They originated with God. God. And all whom the Father chose and gave to Christ and all whom Christ redeemed, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God by the gospel is going to cross their path and he invincibly, irresistibly, is going to call them to life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice. Period. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's pretty plain language, isn't it? Plain language. And these people are never going to perish. They're going to persevere until eternal glory. Our Lord, no man can pluck them out. I give them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I believe those blessed doctrine of the gospel. Don't you? Don't you? But believing the doctrine is not salvation. It's not that. But you believe this is the word of God? I do. But that's not salvation. It's believing Christ. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. It's not a mere doctrine that I declare unto you. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you do. I know you do. And this gospel sets forth his glory. And his people see it. Every single one of them sees something about the glory of Christ. He prayed to the Father and he said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me before the foundation of the world. For you love me. You love me. And they're all going to see his glory. All of God's people see his glory. Whether it's Old Testament believer or New Testament believer. Our Lord, speaking of Isaiah, said, and when he saw his glory, he spoke about him. And I'm telling you, ever since I've seen something about his glory, I've been trying to tell you about him. About him. About him. And you know, a lot of people see a lot of different things. A lot of different things. These three men, they kind of represent those who hear the gospel preached. You know, a lot of times when somebody first hears the gospel preached, they don't see anything. They don't see anything. These three men didn't see anything at first. Luke says they went to sleep. We read that a few minutes ago. They were asleep. They was missing the whole thing. A lot of people come in a place like this. They sit down where the gospel's being preached. They really don't have any interest. may be here for a multitude of reasons, but sit there during the whole service and their minds are somewhere else. And they don't hear and they don't see anything. Just might as well be asleep. They leave the same way they came in, like that wayside here. And immediately, the word's taken away from them. Profits of nothing. Ah, but they may wake up. They may wake up. Preacher, you jump on people if they fall asleep while you're preaching? I used to. I used to make it a point to embarrass them. I don't do that anymore. God taught me better. They may wake up. They may have had, I don't know what they've been through the last 24, 48 hours. They may have, with great effort, be here and physically just can't hold out. So I don't do that anymore. But, well, the main reasons is if they're here, and even if they're asleep, they may wake up. They may wake up and see him. Peter, James, and John did. Not only did they see him, but they saw two men with him. They heard Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that. A man who died 2,000 years ago, and a man who was translated to glory without seeing death. And here both of them stand with the Master talking with him. Oh, I sure like to know what they're talking about, wouldn't you? I do. I do know what they're talking about. Because God tells us, doesn't he? Well, sure he does. Look at Luke chapter 9 again. Luke chapter 9 again. You know what they were talking about? They were talking about the death that our Lord was going to accomplish. Luke 9, look at verse 30. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake, of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That's what Moses and Elijah was interested in. You know why they're interested in that? Because that's our redemption. That's our salvation. That's our atonement. That's our reconciliation. That's our peace, our justification. That's it! The death that he was going to accomplish. That's what they were talking about. And these men, they heard the law and the prophets speaking about him, speaking about his death. You know what the law and the prophets talk about? They talk about him. They talk about him. Our Lord, when he gave up, he talked about the rich man and Lazarus, you remember? They both died. Lazarus was carried into the bosom of Abraham. Rich man was in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torment. And he asked Abraham, send Lazarus back to speak to my brothers. They come not to this place. Oh, there's a great gulf fixed here. Great gulf. Well, send Lazarus back. You know, they believe if one rose. No, they won't believe, though one rose from the dead. One has risen from the dead. Tell you what, let them hear Moses and the prophets. They've got to. Oh, no, they won't hear them. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they won't believe, though one rose from the dead. You know what the Moses and the prophets talked about? Christ, Christ, Christ. Our Lord, after he was crucified, and after he'd risen, and before he ascended, he appeared to the disciples in Luke 24, in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. All spoke of him. Then all beloved, listen. Peter, James, and John, they were tired. They went to sleep. They was missing the whole thing. But they woke up and they saw him. I'm telling you, spiritually, we're all asleep. We sleep the sleep of spiritual death. And we've got to be awakened. We must be awakened. The Spirit of God has got to come to us. It's got to come to every dead sinner. He's got to come to us through the Word, or we'll never hear. If he doesn't wake us up, if he doesn't quicken us, give us life, we'll never wake up. We'll miss it. We won't see him. We'll never know what the law of the prophets, what they speak, who they speak of. Just can't do it. The natural mind, natural man, he doesn't know the things of God. He can't receive them. He can't understand what God's prepared for them that love him. But how are they going to know? God reveals them unto him by his Spirit. By his Spirit. I tell you, we can read the words of life. We can preach the words of life. We can preach Christ unto you. But except God give you life, you'll sleep through the whole thing. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about every sinner. Well, I thought I thought if God chose them and Christ died for them, they're going to be saved. They will. But they're going to be saved in the appointed means. They're going to hear the gospel of Christ. The Spirit of God's going to give them life and reveal Christ to them, and they're going to believe. You see, most people got that backwards. They think man has to do the work in order to get life. But actually, God has to give life in order for man to do the work. Some of you looking at me like that's strange doctrine. That's not. That's not. He that believeth on the Son, what our Lord say? He'll get. He might be saved. No. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. Now I know those things are so close together you can't separate them. But I'm telling you, dead men don't believe. They just don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, these fellows, they may have stopped here. Peter wanted to build them tabernacles, you know. And a lot of people want to do that. A lot of people hear the law and they want to stop at the law. They think they hear what the law says. Do this and live. But they don't know what's commanded. They don't know what. They think they can keep it. And you know what they do? They go about trying to obey it. They go about building a shrine to Moses by trying to perform what the law requires. These people are called legalists. They think they can obtain a perfect righteousness by their own deeds of the law. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he thought that. He said, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, I'm blameless. Now that I know Christ, that's just manure to me. That's what was all along, but he didn't know it. Other people hear the prophets, and they honor the prophets. Well, they should honor the prophets. But don't be taken up with the prophets and miss the one of whom they speak. You'd be surprised at how often people, when they find out if you're a preacher, especially, they want to engage you in a conversation about prophecies, future events, our Lord's second coming. They're taken up with the prophets. They want to build a shrine to Elijah, tabernacle for Elijah. Like I told one, I finally got to the point where I told one man, if you could figure out all those things of which you're trying to pry into, every event that's going to take place, exactly when, where, and how, preceding our Lord's coming, and if you could pin down the exact day that he's coming back for his people, if you could do that, if you don't know, believe, and love him that's coming, it'll do you no good but add to your condemnation. You seek to know him now. You seek to know him who has come. And then you won't worry about the when and the how. What you'll be concerned with is you will love his appearing whenever it takes place. Now that's so. And the people who do this, who build these tabernacles, these shrines to the law and the prophets, they're elevating the law and the prophets on a level with Christ. And beloved, that won't do. That won't do. Some people get taken up with the preacher. They did that in the Corinthian church. Some said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Paulus, I'm of Peter. Some say, well, I don't like any of them. Christ is my preacher. Some people get tied up with their experience. Well, I saw this bright light, and I had this warm, fuzzy feeling, and I heard this. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't elevate these things to a level with the Savior. Don't make a Savior out of them. Because they're not a Savior. There's only one Savior, and that's the Lord of glory. And I tell you, the only way a person will get by this point, he'll never do it. He'll never do it unless one thing happens. And this thing that happens is this. They must hear God speak through his word. Verse 7 says, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Peter said, he talked about this, you read a few minutes ago. He was there when this happened. Heard this voice from him. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. You keep studying, you keep paying attention until that day star, that sun of righteousness arise in your souls. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I sure wish I could believe, but you don't make use of the means. Don't hear the word of God. Don't hear it, yet you expect to have faith. I tell you something else. When a person truly hears God speak through his word, they'll hear these three things. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased in him. Now you listen to him. Hear him. Hear him. And if you're told something else than those three things, That's not the word of God. God's not speaking to you. And a sinner's reaction is always the same. We already talked about it. They fall on their faces. They're afraid. And beloved, I'm telling you, when a sinner's brought low and when he's made to fear, to reverence God, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the chief part of wisdom, the fear of God. And when that happens, salvation is not far off. All right, what did they experience? Right quick, I've got to finish. Verse 7, we read already. Our Lord came and touched them and said, "Arise, arise, be not afraid." Our Lord Jesus Christ has got to come. He's got to come to us. And the voice of God has got to speak to us. And when he does, he'll put us in the dust. And then the only way we'll be raised out of the dust is when Christ himself is revealed to us. When he touches us with his spirit. When he gives us his life, his righteousness, his nature. And he says, "Arise. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Our Lord touches us with his gospel, with his spirit. He speaks to us by his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His suffering and death as a substitute was for his people. His resurrection proves that it was efficacious. His ascension was his entering into the Holy of Holies, where he takes possession of heaven itself for his people. And he speaks peace to his people. It's Christ that died. He'd rather he's risen. He's even on the right hand of God. He also makes intercession for us. Our Lord speaks to his people. He says, "Arise, don't be afraid." He speaks peace to the heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks a word of peace. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, beloved, when that takes place, our sight becomes singular. If thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. And at that time, the sinner won't see anything but Jesus only. Jesus only. He's my all and my in all. Moses and Elijah, they'll take their proper places. Preachers of the gospel will take their proper place. Our experience will be brought into subjection to him. And we'll look only to him. We'll look only to him. We'll see him alone. William Gatsby said this. I'll close with this. Would we view God's brightest glory? Well, here it shines in Jesus' face. Sing and tell the pleasing story. O you sinners, saved by grace. And with pleasure, be it the guilty, him embrace. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Perish in the way of his wrath. It's kindled by love. Kiss the Son. Look to him. See his glory. All right. I pray the Lord will make that a blessing to you for his glory and for our good. Brother Chris, you come lead us in a closing hymn.
All right, in closing, if you would, take your hymnal and turn to 329. 329. And let's all be standing as we close, please. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, are they? So they were going to, if it passed this weekend.
They need to. Other person all fell.
Every ceiling tile.
In the newspaper, I wasn't working there anymore. On the front page, with the supermarket, I was walking on the
Did the middle school and elementary get some work? And that's what it started like.
Okay,
they need it. How do
you know? Well, it's very dangerous for the kids.
Hey, Carol, I'm the one for that. She didn't show up today, Dad. I'll be here when they're gone.
I'm
I thought it would be really
Charleston City Energy is going to work with him there today on the hot food group. She's going to be here right now because she does very well. And so she has a hand to make sure today. Why she needs to be here.